Heavenly Father, as we enter this first Sunday of Lent, we thank you for our scripture readings that remind us that we are to put you first always in our life and not make you secondary to our own plans and agendas. During this Lent, we ask you to strengthen our resolve to discover more life in abundance through faith in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we just always recognize that should we fail in our resolutions, that we always have access to your infinite mercy. And you will always take us back, forgive us, heal us from our sins, and send us back out to do your work. So help no one to feel discouraged at any time during this journey. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So today that is the message, placing God first. And in the first reading from Deuteronomy, Moses was reminding them that the Lord had delivered them from the slavery of Pharaoh, and that they were to always be mindful of that, that it was he who called them to be his own people and sent them into the desert to form them and to worship God and to learn about what it means to be a people of God, peculiarly his own. And that's one of the most unique things about the people of Israel. If they were just let out of slavery to find a piece of land and to do their own thing, they would be just like all the other nations. But God intervened and gave them a law and formed them into his people. And the most important thing, and you see this, and we had this first reading today from the Office of Readings with the beginning of the liberation of the people of Israel, or from the Egyptians, is that we must go into the desert and worship our God. We don't know what that means or how, but that was the most central and important thing, was going to worship God. That was how they found their identity, is one who communes and knows God and sees, you know, seeks the ways of the Lord and everything. And so that was primary. So when they had their ability to have first fruits, they were always to remember to put it first before God and not to, we'll get around to that later. You know, if there's something left at the bottom of the barrel, we'll just use that for God. That's not how it works. God comes first in everything. And that's the goal that we have to keep in mind. And we're tempted always to make God a secondary thing. Well, once I get this done and all my plans and things realized, then maybe I'll get religious. Somebody told me that once. Once I retire, I'm going to get religious. What if you don't make it to retirement? And then the whole notion that getting religious is something dreadful you have to put off, like my taxes. You know, I always wait till the last day to do mine because I just hate doing them and they're complicated and all that. So it's not like that. And Jesus shows us in the gospel that he put his Father first. Here he went out to get focused and prepare for his public ministry, and the devil tempted him when he was vulnerable because he had been fasting for 40 days. And the devil always knows when we're vulnerable and will hit us really hard in those times in our life. Not that he leaves us alone at other times, but it's particularly he knows that we're vulnerable and he can try to sway us away from our vocation and serving God. But Jesus stood on the word of God and said, no, I am the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, you know, I know who I am. Go away. Stop bothering me. And if we live out of our dignity as children of God, see what love the Father has for us, that we're called children of God, and so we are, we don't have to prove ourselves to other people when they ask us to do manipulative things that we know are wrong. We stand first and say, no, I serve God first, and I'm not going to be a part of that. That's immoral. That's not part of God's plan. But we see in our world a great pressure to conform to the thinking of the world and our thoughts and our actions, and it's just getting more and more intense. And so we realize that this scene of the temptation in the desert is really relevant for us today. I mean, it's always relevant because we too are going to be attacked by the enemy. And Satan always appeals to selfishness. You know, if you do this, I'll give you this reward. It's all about you having power, your own glory. And Jesus left all of that because he was thinking of us poor sinners and the mission he was entrusted to lay down his life for us as a ransom for our sins. And that's why Paul in the second reading from Romans 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your lips, you will be saved. That it's all about faith and trusting that Jesus laid down his life so that we could have a whole new way of life. And we cannot save ourselves. And so we needed him to intervene. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. But we're living in a world where people have gradually been lured away from that truth. And that's how the devil works with us. He doesn't just appear to us like he did with Jesus and say, worship me right now. He gradually turns our hearts cold, where we rebel and turn away against God. I'll give you a few examples of that. When I was a kid, now I sound like my dad, all those stories. When I was a kid, the phones were attached to the wall. I was telling the kids at Kennedy Catholic, you know, and they look at you like, wow, you're a dinosaur. But when I was a kid, the malls were not open on Sundays. And they started gradually to have a pattern of, well, we'll be open for 2 or 3 hours. And then gradually, Sunday became less and less the Lord's Day. And now it's just a regular day for people to work. Many don't go to church anymore. Mass attendance is greatly declining in this country and all over the world because Sunday is no longer the Lord's Day, and we don't longer honor that as a day of rest. spending time with family, and look at our families, what a mess they are so often, and look at marriages in crisis, and look at the crime, and everything is just disordered now because we don't respect the order that God has given us. But gradually that begins to happen. It happens with parents. Will you raise this child in the ways of faith and bring them up to be a mature Catholic? Gradually other things become more important. Well, you know, I want them to be really good in sports, or I want them to get a scholarship, and they want to do this, and gradually God becomes secondary. Forming their soul is no longer the primary important thing, and so they fall away, and they don't come to Mass anymore. But the real reason people don't come to Mass is they don't believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he suffered and died for our sins, and that we can't save ourselves. So if you believe in another gospel where I can save myself by my works, why go to Mass? Why come to Mass and give thanks for what he did for us to set us free from sin if I'm subscribing to a way of thinking that I don't need that, I can save myself? And I think that's the real core of why people are not coming to Mass overall and they're falling away. It's like Paul said, they've fallen for another gospel, the gospel of works, and not grace. We're saved through grace through faith, like Paul says in Ephesians. So I think that's the great danger, but Satan knows exactly how to hit us hard and gradually lure us away from the Lord, but we can always come back, and that's the message of Lent. If our hearts have grown cold, we can get back again the joy of salvation. I heard the most beautiful testimony a little while ago from someone who attended a retreat in another state, and so as they were coming back, and this is always a challenge to when you have such an incredible experience, like a Mount Tabor mountaintop experience, to come back and re-engage in your everyday life and your work. So on the way back, the person started thinking, now I have to go back to work and all these problems. And I mean, just immediately starting to lose the peace that the Lord had given him during the retreat. And you know what the Lord did? He stepped in as these thoughts were just swirling around in this person's mind and said, you don't need to worry about all that. You just need to stay close to me. You don't need to worry about all that. You just need to stay close to me. What a grace. And then that peace came right back immediately after that experience. And that's what Lent's all about, staying close to Jesus. So I want to end with some good news. We are in a spiritual battle right now, and it's intensifying tremendously. And I just see the effects of it around and just a lot of things happening. But God has given us everything we need to be devout and to continue to pursue holiness and keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. And Father Ryan, yesterday at the cathedral, we had the rite of election, gave a wonderful homily to the catechumens, or now the elect and the candidates, and reminded us that God has given us the sacraments, a way that we can encounter the Lord through our eyes, our touch, our senses, you know, and he's given us scripture to stand on. Jesus is standing on scripture today. Of course, the devil can quote scripture too, so beware, you know. And then he's given us spiritual friendships, fellowship with one another. We had our prayer meeting on Friday. We spent most of the time asking the Lord, how do we pray into the situation in the Ukraine? What can we do? And we just kind of sat back and asked for guidance about what can we do to kind of, you know, help the people that are suffering and the people here who are anxious, because there's a lot of things that could possibly happen out of this conflict. And I'm sure your minds have gone there, and mine has, as far as nuclear things and stuff like that. How do we pray into this? And the Lord has some wonderful words of encouragement for us. So he's given us everything we need, but the devil wants to intimidate us and bully us. So we have to make sure we're rationing our exposure to the news, spending time in God's word, spending time in quiet and prayer, not just getting sucked into all the negativity and the disturbing things that are happening around us. We don't bury our heads in the sand like an ostrich, right? That's one extreme. But to just sit in front of the TV constantly and take all this in, you're going to be really unsettled and not very peaceful, I think, if you do that, right? So we just pray for moderation there. We don't want to just ignore things, but at the same time, what can I do in my everyday life to love and affirm the people that you brought most close to me? That's what I'm going to answer to the Lord for on Judgment Day, right? So let's just pray that the Lord help us as we start our first official week of Lent with this first Sunday of Lent. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this wonderful time of the year where we get to rediscover your mercy, your faithfulness to us. And most of all, we pray that we would not compromise our faith and make you secondary, but always seek to do what is good and pleasing to you and not to be conformed to the thinking of the world. And we just pray you will surround us with loving, mature spiritual friends where we can support and encourage one another and continue our journey as a family of God. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.